Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Over the next several weeks, actually probably 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to start a series of messages around a title, actually around a book that I read last year. Dr. Tom Rainer is vice president of Lifeway, who wrote a book. I love to read some of his books that he writes. He does a lot of study on the local church, and he wrote a book simply entitled, I Am a Church Member. And in that book, of course, and you know me, anytime I read books, I love to read. I read a lot of books, not being braggadocious, but I just enjoy reading. And in that book, he hits the nail on the head on a lot of things when it comes to what it means to be a church member. Of course, in that book as well, there are some things I don't agree with, but it's like my pastor told me years ago when I was a young teenager, he said, Tracy, when you read books, it's like eating fish. He said, you eat the fish, you throw the bones away. And you have to do that when you read any book apart from the Bible, in my opinion. But in the context of that, Dr. Rainer brings out some fascinating thoughts of what true biblical church membership is. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God saved you, God loved you enough. Hear my heart. God loved you. Let me say it like this. God loved me enough, and he does you as well, to not only save me, but he loved me enough to place me into a local New Testament church. You didn't hear me. God loves us. You say, yeah, but the Lord saves us. Yes, he does, and I'm grateful to God that he did. We'd go to hell without it. Amen? Everybody would die lost without Christ, and they would split hell wide open. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves us enough to not only save us, he loves us to place us into a local New Testament church where you're going to see tonight where we can grow in our walk with God, and we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ with other believers in Jesus Christ. Now you say, Pastor, yeah, but churches aren't perfect. Amen, amen, amen. They're not. And the reason they're not perfect is because they're made up of imperfect people. Can I get a witness in the building? No churches are perfect. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is not a perfect church. It's a great church, and I can say that not because I'm their pastor. I can say that because I'm a member of this body, and this body has been a great blessing to me over the 11 plus years we've been a member here. God has blessed us and really, truly has ministered to us and me and my family through this body. So the Lord Jesus loves us enough to save us, and he loves us enough to place us into local New Testament churches where we can serve him and where we can grow in our walk with him. Dr. Rainer did a poll of over 6 years. He did a poll of over 500 churches, 557 churches. And during that poll from 2004 to 2010, statistics were staggering. Statistics showed that 9 out of 10 churches were declining or had plateaued or declined in that study. With that being said, that's a sad, sad state, is it not? It's God's will for churches to grow. And I say that unapologetically. You say, yeah, but preacher, we live in tough times. You're absolutely right. But you know what? If I study my Bible correct, it's always been tough times. Is that right? It's never been easy. Building a work for God has never been easy. But but also understand something. It's not impossible, though, either. God will bless. God will bless churches that stand on the truth of God's Word and preach the truth of God's Word. So with that, we're going to do a series of lessons over these next several weeks on what it means to be a church member. I am a church member. If you're saved, you're part of a local New Testament church. A church member, as far as in the context of a local New Testament church, we're going to look at it in light of the Bible. Let me also say this. Church membership is biblical. It's biblical. You say, well, preacher, I just don't see church membership in the Bible. Well, you must not read much of the New Testament, because the New Testament is saturated with churches. Matter of fact, the majority of the times the word church is used in the New Testament, 115 times I believe it it's referring to a local New Testament, local assembly, a baptized body of believers, a local church. Church at Corinth, church at Thyatira, the church at Ephesus. I mean, you could go down the list. Church after church after church. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to local New Testament churches, the church at Philippi, Colossae, different local assemblies. A majority of the New Testament, indeed, of Paul's writings, were written to. So with that being said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse number 12 and read down through verse 28. Now again, the context of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing to a local church. It's a church at Corinth. It's a local body of baptized believers that were assembled in the city of Corinth. And it was, and I'll be honest with you, it was a messed up church, brother. It was an absolute carnal, divisive, and you go down the list. It was a church that was a mess, as we'd say down home. But it was still a church. And God was going to use the Apostle Paul to try to get this church back on the gospel track, back in line with the Lord Jesus. Here's what also I believe. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful. That God, and I've seen God do this, that God could take churches that seemingly are dead, and God can raise those churches up. I've seen God do that. I've seen the Lord personally do that in my life and in lives of other churches. So with that, there's still hope. Hear me, there's still hope for the local church. Amen? I believe in the local church, don't you? Well, four of us do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, behold, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Again, he's writing to a local assembly that was full of schism, writing to a local assembly that was full of gossip, writing to a local church that's full of dysfunction, if you will. Notice what he says, but that the members, verse 25, look at this. But that the members, you see that word? But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members. Notice the emphasis. Notice the repetitive use of the word member or members. The members rejoice with it. Now ye, verse 27, are the body of Christ. He's talking to the church at Corinth. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, help, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word tonight. May your Holy Spirit, God, be our teacher, our guide tonight. Father, may you speak as only you can. And God, I pray that you'll do something great in our midst. May we see the blessedness, Lord, of being saved, but God, may we also see the gift and the joy of being part of a local New Testament church that seeks to honor you. Are we perfect? No, Lord. And God, I think sometimes people get so upset or just different things that come across their mind and their heart, God, because I think sometimes, Lord, they feel that it needs to be perfect and everybody should be perfect, but God, we're not. We're sinners saved by grace. And Lord Jesus, if it weren't for your grace, we'd still be lost and hellbound. So, Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I am a church member. What does it mean to be a church member? Dr. Tom Rainer uses a story when he was a young boy living in the South. He talked about how he was so excited the day had come that a local in his local community, they brought in a country club in his local community. Now, living in a little southern town that Dr. Rainer was part of, it wasn't some big elaborate, you know, magnificent edifice. It was just simply just a building. But well, here's what he learned about being him and his family becoming part of that country club. Becoming part of that little local country club meant you had becoming a member of that local country club meant that you had perks, meant that you paid your dues, people served you, and you got out of it because you were you got out of that, you know, everything you could out of that because you were part of that country club. On the same side, the other side of that coin, Dr. Rainer brings out some thoughts, and he talks about in the context of what it means to be a church member. Church membership is not, biblical church membership is not being a member of a country club. Being a member of a local New Testament church is not something that God saves us and places us in a local New Testament church so that we get all the perks and that we take and take and take and take. No, on the contrary. Being a member of a local New Testament church, you know what it means? It means you're to give to it. I'm not just talking financially, tithing and giving. It's not a tithing and giving sermon. I'm talking about giving of your talents, giving of your time, giving of your treasures, giving to that. You say, well, preacher, well, when I joined the local church, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I had the attitude that I'm going to become part of a local church and therefore I'll get my needs met. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's still clear when it says more blessed to give than to receive. When you become part of a local New Testament church, Dr. Rainer brings out six thoughts, and I love these thoughts, and I'm going to kind of run in some of the vein, if you will, of these six thoughts over the next several weeks. What does it mean to be a church member? Number one, it means to be a functioning church member. We're going to talk about that tonight. Being a church member, being a member of a local New Testament assembly means I will be a functioning church member. Second of all, it means that I will be a unifying church member. You and I that know Jesus as our Savior and members of this local New Testament church, are you aware biblically, and we stand upon the Word of God and we say this, that you and I should always be a unifying presence in this body? You didn't hear me. We need to turn the heat up a little bit, don't we? Are you freezing to death? No. We need to contribute to the unity of this body. It's never God's will for schism and division to be in a church. You say, yeah, but pastor, I mean, I got to make sure that I get my rights and I get this. Well, first of all, understand something. If this is the Lord's church, and I do believe sincerely that it is, we must not have a sole focus that we get what we want. We should honestly have a heart's desire that we please Jesus Christ the Lord. That should be our goal. That should be our goal as far as in our worship. We've been talking much about being intentional, done on purpose, not by accident. Something that we absolutely do something. We do it on purpose. We're intentional, and our goal is to be intentional in our worship, primarily at the beginning of this. And really, you tie the worship with the local church. The Bible teaches us some very specific truths in regards to the local church. Number three, so functioning church member, unifying church member. Number three, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires, Dr. Rainer says. I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. You know, over the years, I've had people, honestly, being a pastor, I've had people over the years say some crazy things to me. They've said things like this, preacher, I'll stay a part of this church But if we ever put, listen to this, if we ever put music on the screen, I'm out of here. Are you kidding me? Really? I told you before, God didn't inspire that hymn book. It's quiet in here. He inspired the Bible, but he didn't inspire your hymn book. I love the hymn book, and I love singing the hymn book, amen? I love singing the hymns, don't you? But understand, ladies and gentlemen, do we honestly, truly, honestly think that God is going to abandon the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church if we put the words on the screen? I'll be honest, for some of us that need bifocals but refuse to buy them, it might help me out a little bit. Can I get a witness in the building? And I'm not saying next Sunday you're going to see everything on the screen. I'm not saying that. But my point is, why is it that many times we say, well, I'll be a part of Emmanuel as long as we don't do this, and as long as, here's one, I'll be part of Emmanuel as long as we don't put drums in the orchestra. Show me biblically why. Seriously, honestly. You say, well, I'm against drums. Well, listen, and I'm not saying we're going out and buying a drum set. I'm not. No way am I saying that. But my point is this. Why is it that we often put stipulations on our membership? Is it because we have the church country club mentality? Or is it we have the true biblical membership mentality? You say, well, drum sets are evil. Well, here's what I learned about drum set. We take a drum set and we split it up and we put it in a symphony. Oh, right? Orchestra and symphony. We split it all up, cymbals and all that. And by the way, there is biblical support for the percussion instrument. That's another sermon, and I'm not running in that, but that's just wanted to say that. Or here's one. Well, preacher, you're pretty long-winded. You know, sometimes I am. Terry, I thought you did a better job than that. No, sometimes I am. But here's something else I've learned. Do you think maybe, that if God is leading in a service and the preacher, whether it be me or Brother Stephen or any of the other boys that preach from this pulpit, and God takes a sermon and maybe takes a little longer, do you possibly think maybe that God may be dealing with somebody other than you? Amen? Is it a country club membership where we get served? Or is it a church membership where we come to serve, where we come to pray, where we come to give, where we come to be a part of something greater than ourselves? Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm just old-fashioned. So am I. I really am. I'm not. You say, I'm just against all this praise, all this new singing. Well, you know what? Here's something you have to understand. Amazing Grace in your hymn book was a new song one time. Amazing Grace in your hymn book, to some, was liberal music. Well, preacher, I just don't. My point is this. Now, and I hope, honestly, truly, I hope I've stimulated some thought. And I hope I've challenged some thought. Because here's what I want us to understand. The church that the Lord Jesus Christ has been so gloriously gracious to us, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, this church should honestly strive to please Jesus. And we should strive to please Jesus. Here's how we do it. We strive to please Jesus Christ by staying a biblical assembly. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know. Well, it doesn't necessarily make it wrong because it's different. Amen? It doesn't make it wrong just because it's different. I mean, I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to God with change. I'm thankful to God with different ways of ministry. Am I saying that we're abandoning the Bible? No. As long as I'm your pastor, I promise you, we're never going to abandon the King James Bible. And by the way, hear my heart. I preach from the King James by conviction. Not preference. You know the difference between a conviction and a preference, right? A conviction is something you would die for. A preference is not. I'm not going to die for a preference. I prefer that the Broncos beat the tar out of the Chargers. I would ask Jonathan what the score is, because I know he knows what the score is right now. David McShefsky sitting in the back. I know you guys know what the score is. Is it more than 14 to nothing? Well, leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's a preference. But as far as a conviction, I'm by conviction. I preach in the King James Bible, and we do that. And listen, we say it unapologetically. I'm not saying that to, you know, to make me look bigger in your eyes. You say, that ain't possible for you to look bigger in mine. Oh, my word. This cough drop has got something in it, I think. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. Number four, I will pray for my church leaders. We need your prayers. As leaders, we need your prayers. May I remind you, according to the Bible, it's a spiritual warfare that we're in. Let me also let you in on a little secret. I'm not perfect. Nobody amen that because you're in shock right now. My wife is crying. She's devastated for me to tell her that. I'm the wind beneath her wings, but I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God just like you are if you're born again. So when I'm saying that to honestly ask you, pray for me as your pastor. Pray that God will continue to give wisdom and that the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's something else I've learned in the context of this. As far as being, I am a church member, number that of that last point, praying for your leaders. Pray for us rather than complain about us. Is that fair? Pray for us rather than complain about us. You say, preacher, I'll be honest. I don't like the way you do this. I don't like the way you do that. Pray for me, man. That's an honest request tonight. Pray for me. Maybe the reason I did such and such was because you have no idea some of the things I may have been dealing with last year. Some of you men in this room know some of the things I dealt with last year. And I thank God for the men and the women that were praying for me. So continue to pray for me. I pray for you. If your name comes across my mind, I promise you, I try to pray for you right then and there. Number five, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. And number six, I will treasure church membership as a gift. If you didn't write those down, that's okay. But we're going to run in those six veins over the next 6 or 8 weeks. But I will treasure my church membership as a gift. It's not a country club. It's not a country club membership where I come to be served. It's a membership where I come to serve. I come to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come to serve you guys. That's membership. Now, with that, let's dig into to this first thought of being a functioning church member. The Lord Jesus Christ placed us, if I read these scriptures correctly, the Lord Jesus Christ not only saved us, but he chose to place us in the local New Testament assembly for a reason. He chose to place us in a local body, the local New Testament church, to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach perhaps, to give, and in some cases, in other parts of the world, in some cases, perhaps even die for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ saved you and placed you into a local New Testament church. May I also say, and I said this earlier, the Lord God, in placing us in a local New Testament church, who, oh, by the way, according to the book of Ephesians, that God receives glory and honor in and through his local New Testament churches, God who placed us in it, he did it for a reason. And he did it for, here's what's so great about serving God through a local assembly. It gives me an opportunity to glorify my Savior, but also grow in my walk with him as I serve alongside other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a joy to be part of a church, amen? It's an honor to be part of a local New Testament church. If I was not, honestly, truly, I mean this, if I wasn't a part of a local New Testament church tonight, I promise you, here's what I would do. I would be praying fervently. I seriously mean this. I would be praying fervently that God would lead me to a church where I could honestly get in and start serving in. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be praying that God would give me wisdom, that the Lord Jesus through his Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct my steps. You say, yeah, but preacher, joining a church isn't the easiest thing in the world. You're right. I honestly, don't just hop here and hop there and just join here and join there. No, you pray about it. And you let God give you peace about it. I've said from this altar before, if you believe the Lord Jesus is leading you, become part of Emmanuel Baptist, make certain that the Lord is doing that. Make certain that the Holy Spirit of God is leading, because if God isn't leading and you become part of the body, you'll be out of fellowship with God, out of God's will. We don't want that. So make certain that it would be God's will for you tonight with this local New Testament church. You say, preacher, I don't need a church to serve Jesus. Well, I disagree with you. I disagree with you biblically, because when I study my Bible, when people would get saved in the New Testament, study in the New Testament. When people get saved in the New Testament, where do you find them going? To church. You find them assembling with the local assemblies. So in the aspect of being a functioning church member, let me give you a few thoughts. Why is church membership important? Now, we didn't exposit these verses of 1 Corinthians 12, but I read them to show you that church membership, Paul's specific thoughts on being a church member, is literally like being part of a body. If you take a human body, we have all kinds of different members of the body, right? We have hands, we have feet, we have ears, nose, we have eyes. And every single one of those things are important. I would hate to lose my hand. I would hate to lose my hearing. I would hate to lose my vision. Why? Because they're part of the body, but yet they make up that one body. Different parts, but they make up that one body. Now, in the context of a local church, that's exactly what a church is. We're different. Amen? Way yonder different, as we'd say down home. We're different, but God does amazing things. He brings unity through diversity. There's unity in the body through diversity. We're different. Some of us are from the south, some of us from the north, some of us from different countries. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, places us in a local testament church where we serve God. Ready for this one? We serve God together. We worship the Lord Jesus together. You say, yeah, but preacher, I'll be honest. I'm not in a good way right now. I'm kind of mad. I'm kind of disgruntled. Listen, hear my heart. Biblically, if I've done something to offend you from the pulpit, I'm sorry. I apologize. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If you haven't come to me, but if you're sitting here tonight and that's the case, I'm sorry. And I would hope sincerely from the bottom of my heart, I would hope sincerely tonight that as a brother and sister in the Lord Jesus, that we can forgive each other to move further in our walk with Jesus. And take this church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, take this church further for the kingdom of our Savior. You say, preacher, yeah, but I just get mad. Well, if you're unwilling to repent, build a bridge and get over it, brother. If you're unwilling to repent, if you're unwilling to forgive, there's really nothing we can do but pray for you. And I promise you we will. So what does it mean? Why is church membership important? Go to Acts chapter 1. We'll exposit those verses at another time. But in Acts chapter 1, why is church membership important? Number one, it's important because of identity. It's important because of identity. We'll read just a couple verses. They had membership in a church at Jerusalem. Well, you may think, well, preacher, I'll be honest, I don't really care about the local church because I'm a part of this universal invisible thing. Oh, really? Here's what I encourage you to do. Next time you go in a hospital, call the universal invisible pastor or deacons to come and minister to you. There is no such thing. Right? There is no such thing. When the Bible speaks of the church in the New Testament, it's talking local assemblies of baptized body believers. That's the church in the New Testament. So with that, just kind of keep that in mind. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and notice this and said, and in parentheses, the number of names together were about 120. Of course, that's in the upper room. They had about 120 people there in that upper room. You go to chapter number 2, and starting in verse number 41 and following, Peter preaches a great sermon on the day of Pentecost. I mean, God is working. The Lord Jesus Christ is magnified. He's exalted. The gospel is proclaimed. You read that in the earlier verses in chapter 2. The death and resurrection of Christ is the focal point of a sermon. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Believers, baptism. You don't baptize lost people. You get. And by the way, that's why we do not baptize babies in this church. Amen? You only get baptized after you've been born again. So just kind of keep that in mind. That's another sermon. But anyway, that's the thought. They that gladly received this word were baptized, verse 41, and the same day there were added unto them. Who's the them in that verse? The them is the 120 members that were assembled in that upper room in chapter 1. That church, the church at Jerusalem. Here's what's remarkable. Over 3,000 were added on that day of Pentecost. The Bible says about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. They would assemble on a regular basis, almost literally. You say, well, preacher, they didn't assemble three times a week. No, you're right. They assembled more than that. The church in the New Testament in the first century, they often met daily. So be careful whenever we want to say, well, I just can't. I go to church all the time. No, you really don't. If you come faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that pales in comparison to what the churches did in the New Testament. So just kind of keep that in mind. Just kind of chew on that. Let that be a blessing to you. Identity. Why do we need church membership? Identity. It identifies us as, you say, yeah, but preacher, church membership doesn't save me. No, it doesn't. It doesn't save your soul, but it may save your life. It doesn't save your soul, but it may save your life. May save you from a life of heartache. May save you from a life of sin and a life of scars. You say, well, how does the church do that? Well, because when you come into the body and you become part of a local body where you allow yourself to be taught and you allow yourself to serve and you allow yourself to give of your time and you allow yourself to be taught, stay teachable, often what God does with that is God then uses that to help you in your growth with Jesus Christ. So just kind of keep that in mind. Identity. Number two, maturity. We grow best as we grow together. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Real quick, we're going to get through these real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Maturity. It helps us. Why church membership? Maturity. It helps you grow. It's God's will for you to grow. You didn't hear me. It's God's will for you to grow, believer. And let me just hear me, and let me include myself in this statement. There's nobody, no one in this room that has arrived spiritually tonight. I include myself, my hand up. None of us have arrived. We're all in a process, amen? We ought to be progressing in our walk with Jesus Christ. That's what's great about reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's amazing how God sometimes will take a passage and just jump it off, like it jumps off the page like you've never read it before. That's what's so awesome about God's Word and growing in our walk with Jesus Christ. So, maturity. Verse 8 of Ephesians 4, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus give those things? Verse 12, for the perfecting, literally the equipping, the perfecting of the saints. Who are saints? You, if you're saved. You're a saint, I'm a saint. My preacher used to say you're either a saint or an ain't. Amen? You're either saved or you're lost. You either have Christ your Savior or you're not saved. The biblical definition of a saint is a born-again Christian. So God gave us those gifts, those offices now, for the perfecting, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, here it is, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's the point, preacher? The point is why you need to be a church member, so you can grow, so that you can mature in your faith. We grow best when we grow together. The church provides you a place where you can mature your faith and grow it. Number three, for ministry. The church gives you a place to discover your spiritual gifts and an avenue to put them to work. Right on next to the word ministry, write Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is listing, he gives us a list of what is known as motivational gifts. In that list, if you're born again, you have at least one of those gifts. If you're born again, you're gifted. As I preach, I'm not gifted. Yes, you are. If you have Christ your Savior, you have at least one of those spiritual gifts. Number four, Hebrews 13. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 for a moment. And here's often where we lose some people, especially in this culture. But what I'm going to show you is absolutely biblical. Why do we need to be a church member? For identity, for maturity, for ministry. Number four, authority. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Notice what the Bible says. Obey them that have the rule over you. Literally, lead you. In the context, he's talking about pastors. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. Do you realize? And I know, listen, I know individually we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to stand there for you. You're not going to stand there for me as a born-again believer in Christ. But are you also aware that as a believer and as a member of a local New Testament church, as the pastor, I'm going to give an account to God for the way I've pastored you someday? I say that very humbled by that. And to be honest, a little scared in that regard. Because the office of pastor is a sacred office. Not because I am one, but because it's absolutely an office that God has placed in the church. Notice the Bible says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Why do we need to be a church member? For authority. Get under, if you're not a part of a church, I encourage you, I sincerely mean this, I encourage you to get in a church where you can get under the authority of a local New Testament church and under the authority of a pastor who's going to love you. Listen, who's going to love you enough to preach the truth of God's word. And who's going to love you enough that when you're not right with God, he's going to look you square in the eye and says, hey, I'm concerned about you. You know, I think sometimes, and it's interesting to me how many times when people start getting away from church and they quit coming to church, they start missing services, and whenever the pastor or even the deacons who serve alongside the pastor, and then we start calling on you or we start seeing you and we ask, hey, how you doing, man? I've been praying for you, been concerned about you. That people sometimes get offended that they're asked about that. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't get offended. We do it because we love you. We do it because we care. Amen? That's why we do that. And if I know my Bible correct, when you come and you join, you submit it to the authority of a local New Testament church, and you submit it to serve the Lord Jesus together. And oh, if I remember correctly, 1 Corinthians 12, you're part of the same body. And if maybe you're a hand that's part of that body and that hand is not there, guess what? The whole body suffers. If you're an eye and the eye isn't there and it's not in its proper spot, the whole body suffers. You say, preacher, I don't matter. Yes, you do matter. Who told you that? You say, well, preacher, I'm not missed. I'm not missed when I'm not here. Yes, you are. You have no idea. You have no idea the hours of prayer I've prayed for you. I sincerely mean this, and I'm not being braggadocious. God knows my heart in this. You have no idea the times when I preach, I look out, and I'm like, man, where's that person be? And weeks go by, and you don't see them. And you wonder, what's going on, Lord? And you try to call, and there's no answer. You try to send a text, no response. He's a preacher trying to track me down. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And the reason I do it is because I care, I love you. I'm your pastor. I want to serve you if you'll let me serve you. You say, preacher, you get pretty fired up about that. Yeah, I do. Because I don't take this job for granted. You see, you call it a job? Well, you can call it what you want. That's what the world calls it. It's a calling. I know it's a calling. Question. Will you let me serve you as your pastor? Will you let me do that? You say, well, pastor, I'll tell you, you just done some things a year ago that just really offended me. Please come to me. My door's open, man. Come to me. We'll sit down, I promise you, man to man. Or we'll discuss it. We'll pray about it. I'm not perfect. I try to follow the Lord. I sincerely do. Authority. 1 Peter talks about it as well. Every church member needs to be under the authority of a local pastor. He said, well, preacher, I don't. And by the way, let me get on something else that bothers me. Many of you, you go in the hospital and you don't tell people. You're making me mad. I sincerely mean it. It really infuriates me about that. You say, oh, preacher, some of you go in the hospital, you have surgery, we don't see you for a month and a half, and then all of a sudden we find, oh, well, I had surgery. I wasn't going to bother you with it, preacher. It's not a bother. And listen, for somebody that has gone through surgeries, I know how the devil works when you're down physically. And if you'll let us minister to you, we'll love you through those surgeries. We'll pray for you fervently. We'll mention you to a church body who chances are, you ready for this one? Chances are there's many people in this church. You're going to start getting encouragement calls and letters in your mailbox. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And the reason they do, because they care about you. But when we get this attitude that we're supermen and women and we're invincible and nothing bothers us and we don't need the ministry of a church, the devil absolutely laughs when that happens. And I'm going to tell you right now, he will chew you up and he will spit you out if you think you can outwit him and stand on your own apart from a local church ministry. Won't happen. You know what's going to happen? I'm not a prophet, just hear me. You, my friend, my sir, ma'am, will be another staggering statistic that the devil has destroyed. You say, well, preacher, I don't really let people know when I'm down. I don't really let people know when I'm struggling. You're robbing yourself of a great blessing of a church that believes in prayer. You're robbing yourself of a great blessing. So don't get mad at me. Well, next time you have a surgery, you better tell me. I'm going to find out, and I'm going to call, and I'm going to tell them to put the meanest nurses that they have in your room. It's going to be bad. Accountability, number 5, Hebrews 3. Turn back to Hebrews 3, and we're done. Just really kind of setting this series up to where we're going. Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 10. Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 10. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Number 5, why church membership? Accountability. Hear my heart. We all need it. Every one of us need accountability. You didn't hear me. Every single person needs accountability. You say, who are you accountable to? I've made myself by choice accountable to some people. People that ask me the hard questions. People that ask me how I'm doing spiritually. You say, why would you do that, preacher? Because I'm not my own. I can't make this without brothers and sisters in Christ encouraging me and loving me often. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Exhort means encourage. Boy, that's a concept, is it not? You mean we ought to encourage each other every day? Amen. An ounce of encouragement goes a long way. So does discouragement. So does critical spiritness. One critical comment. I don't notice the numbers, but one critical comment. What does it take? 10 positive comments to encourage you by getting one negative comment or something like that? So just kind of keep that in mind. Encouragement goes a long way. Accountability. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. Notice why. Here's the reason. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will callous you. brothers and sisters. Sin will harden you. Sin will take the joy out of serving Jesus Christ. But as a brother in Christ who hopefully passionately tries to encourage each other, brothers and sisters in the Lord, may we continue to do that. Look at Hebrews 10. I'm done. Hebrews 10, because it really goes with it. It runs right in the same vein. Verse 24, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. We need church membership for accountability. You say, well, preacher, nobody checks on me, nobody this, nobody that. Well, I promise you, if you'll let us know, we'll do our best. One of the things Leslie actually thought about this, thought it was a good idea, maybe putting a box back there at the Welcome Center, and all that box is going to be, if you look around, honestly, sometimes things fall through the cracks. I don't do it intentionally, but things do. We miss somebody, we just do, we're human, and we do that. So let's have a good idea of putting a box at the back by the Welcome Center, and if you happen to look around and see a brother and sister that isn't there, that isn't in church, and maybe you want us to, through the front office, we'll drop them a card. Hey, missed your church, let us know, keep us up on that. We'll do that through the front office. Sound like a plan? It's a good idea, is it not? We don't want people to go fall by the wayside and fall through the cracks. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And I've heard preachers for years preach on verse 25 and absolutely skin their people alive about missing church. I've never done that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in skinning people. I don't believe in skinning sheep. They need sheared every now and then, but they don't need skinned. We're going to encourage you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. What do we do tonight? We assembled. What do we do this morning? We assembled, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. What are we going to do Wednesday night? We're going to assemble as a body, as a local New Testament church. So the writer says, don't forsake that. Don't forsake the assembling. Well, preacher, I just don't see a need in it. You have no idea. You honestly have no idea the value and the importance to your Christian walk of assembling with the body of Christ. You have no idea the importance. So keep that in mind. Not forsaking the assembling. And by the way, let me just interject something. Hear my heart. I promise you, here's what's going to happen. The world will give you 1,000 things to keep you from church. It's going to happen. Mark it down. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you get tickets for the big game. Don't be surprised if your coworkers invite you to a function that caused you to miss Sunday mornings. You say, preacher, now you're going to harp on me. No, no, no. And by the way, please hear me. That was not directed at any one person. God knows my heart before the Lord Jesus. That's the honest truth. But my point of it is this. Be very cautious. Be very cautious. Remember? What'd you do with it? I think that's my cue to be done. Pray for the sound, men. We're praying for salvation. They hit the back of the church right there. That was not encouraging. But anyway, be very, very conscientious of your church attendance. You need it. I promise you, you do. You need it, and I need it. We need each other. We need accountability. It keeps us accountable. Provoking the love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. You always have the some is. What do you do with the some is? You pray for them. You encourage them. You let them know they're missed. I've said this before. Hear my heart to my ushers and greeters. When you see somebody walk in the door that hasn't been here in a while, don't go up to them and say something stupid like, man, I'm making sure the roof ain't going to fall in on you. We haven't seen you in a month. Don't do that. Are you kidding me? Here's what I hope happens if that happens. I hope they punch you right in the nose in Christian love. Amen? The ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood will be their life verse. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, not just exhorting, absolutely exorbitant amount, exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Accountability, authority, identity, maturity, ministry. Why do we need to be a church member? You say, preacher, I don't need a church. You have no idea. You have no idea how much you need one. And you know what? You have no idea how much the church needs you. This church needs you. It does. You say, preacher, I'm not needed. Yeah, you are. Because if I know my Bible correctly, according to 1 Corinthians 12, My Lord. Here's something to think about, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church member. Think about this for a minute. My Lord, who saved you in His magnificent wisdom. Everybody look up here for a minute. In His magnificent wisdom, chose to place you in this body. He placed you in this body. And because He placed you in this body, He did it for a reason. You say, what are the reasons, preacher? What we just read. So that you can be an encouragement to other people. So that you can exhort one another. Do you realize your attendance is an encouragement to me? As I look around, I see some of you. You encourage me by being here. He said, "I preach. You just do. You're just grateful I'm here, so you don't have an empty building to preach to." That's part of it, I guess. No, I'm serious. You encourage me. I've seen God do some amazing things in your life. I've seen God work miracles in your life. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I've personally prayed, and I've seen God answer prayer in many of y'all's lives. It encourages me when you're here. And God, in His wisdom, He not only saved you, He chose to place you in this body. What a marvelous God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.